This is God's perfect word, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. Missionary Hudson Taylor famously said, there are three stages to every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then, it is difficult. Then, it is done. Hudson Taylor, who lived in the 19th century into the early parts of the 20th century, had a desire to take the gospel to China after the Lord Jesus saved him by grace through faith. He was a faithful man of prayer, and if you read about him, he was also a faithful man who labored for the kingdom of God tirelessly through much suffering, through much endurance. He founded and directed the China Inland Mission, founded in 1865, as America was going into, ending Civil War, and then in 1902, when he finished directing the Inland Mission, and he died soon after that. One example of what was going on in China during this time was the Boxer Rebellion, which was from 1899 to 1901. There was much persecution against Christians in China at that time, and even the China Inland Mission lost 58 adults, missionaries, and 21 children were killed at that time. War that was going on. Hudson Taylor died on June 3rd, 1905, and by God's grace, even after the Boxer Rebellion, the China Inland Mission remained in China. And by the time he died, there were 825 missionaries serving with the mission board he started, and they were in all 18 provinces of China. There were over 500 local Chinese workers and over 25,000 Chinese converts that they could see in their ministry. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. As we return now to our Psalm of the Year, Psalm 126, you may remember early in the year we had a prayer meeting where we prayed through Psalm 126. And now I get the opportunity to preach on this psalm. It is a song of ascents. It is a pilgrim song that God's people in the Old Testament would sing as they were going up the mountain to the temple, or maybe going to Jerusalem from other places in Israel. Yet I think it also can help us to have a spiritual ascent as we are wanting to worship the Lord now in the new covenant, in spirit and truth. It charts a path for us to walk as well. We are at about the midway point of our year, and so I think it is a good time for us to pause and reflect through this psalm and what the Lord has done for us. I'm going to issue us a call to pray and not give up. We too can relate, perhaps in just a little bit, with what Hudson Taylor said. The work God has called us to at first maybe seemed impossible. I've said it before, and I'll remind us again, when Lindsay and I were called to come here to plant a church in a small rural town and to reach college students at a very godless campus, many people said, that's impossible, you can't do that. Maybe now we are in the second phase. It's difficult. It's not easy to plant a church. Difficult put into perspective by what our brothers and sisters go through throughout the world. And our work is not yet done, but I look forward to the day that we look back and say, God did it. So the title of today's sermon is Restore Our Fortunes, O Lord. So first, we will look back with thankfulness for what the Lord has done, verses 1 through 3. Next, we will look forward in hope, verses 5 and 6. And right now, we're going to cry out with the psalmist, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord." So, children, if you like to draw pictures, I'll give you an opportunity for something to draw, but you can do whatever you're doing, doesn't matter. If you want to draw a picture, I'd love to see them. Two pictures. First, a picture of a farmer planting seeds in a field and crying, okay? Planting seeds and crying. You'll see as we read the Bible verses, this is what it's talking about. The second picture, I want a different farmer, the same one, later, having armful of a crop, and he's shouting for joy. Okay, so crying farmer planting a seed, and that same farmer later coming home with with a harvest, and he's shouting for joy. Does that make sense? Okay, that's just an idea. You don't have to do that. That's something you can do. And kids, the reason I give you that idea is because that's how our lives are like as Christians. Sometimes we're sad and we're needing to trust God's word. And then later, we have lots of joy. Okay, so for all of us, let's move forward into Psalm 126. First, we are looking back with thankfulness at what God has done. That's what the Israelites were doing in this psalm, in verses 1 through 3, and that's what we want to do as well this morning. So the Israel was thankful for God's deliverance. We don't know exactly the time frame that this psalm was written, but we can imagine there are many times they could be thankful for their deliverance. Let's look back at the verses. Verse 1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, as we said, that could be any time. That could be from the Exodus from Egypt, and God brought them out by the blood of the Lamb, and God parted the Red Sea so they could escape such sure death. That could be a time the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. It could be when God conquered the peoples in the Promised Land. The commander of the Lord's army leading Joshua and the Israelites. And God, Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. That could be a time when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Could have been later, after the kingdom rose and fell at the exile. Cyrus of Persia, a godless king. He did not know the Lord, and yet he was the Lord's chosen servant to make a proclamation to send God's people back to rebuild the temple. Cyrus of Persia. That could have been a time when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. So as Israel was looking back on many of the times God had restored their fortunes, they were thankful. They were surprised that even other nations knew about what God has done. Let's see. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed, that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, Israel said. We are glad. So they were looking back in a time, which we'll see, they're needing deliverance again. Because in verse 4, they say, restore us, O Lord. They're needing to see God come through again. The first thing they do is they look back and they remember what God has done. And this is instructive for us as well, brothers and sisters, both in your personal life and in our life together as a church. As a church, we surely, Grace Fellowship, can look back with thankfulness at all the Lord has done for us. As Lindsay and I moved back here to Franklin County in 2021, we had a dream to plant a church that would unite the mountain and the valley under the banner of Jesus Christ alone. And we can all testify that we are still a work in progress. We have not arrived by any means, but we can also praise God for what he's done so far, can we not? As I think back, even over this past year, our children memorizing Bible verses in Sunday school, praise God for that. We had a party for our graduating seniors who we met even just this past year. I praise God for that. As we had a men and women's worship night where we got to come together and worship the Lord with other churches in this area, I praise God for that. Our baptisms at Lake Cheston, praise God for that. We took a mission trip to the Middle East. Praise God for that. We were able to help a family adopt a child. Praise God. Taking up multiple missions offerings. Praise God. Every song that we have sung, every prayer we have prayed, every time we've shared the gospel with someone else, every relationship in this room, it's all because of God's grace. The Lord has done great things for us. We should be glad. Yes, church plants are hard. Yes, any church life is hard. But so is every great work. So why are we here, brothers and sisters? Are we here for an easy life? Are we here just to be as comfortable as we can? Have y'all ever seen the movie WALL-E? You guys remember? This is not in the notes. I was talking about this with Joshua the other day. WALL-E, it's a movie, children's movie, and it kind of was foreshadowing the future, which kind of like today. Everybody gets their own like seat that can move around and TV screen, and you get everything delivered to you, and everyone just gets bigger and bigger and lazier and can't do anything, and they're glued to their screens. Is that what we're after? Just comfort after comfort after comfort? We just want the easiest life. We want heaven on earth right now. Or are we here to glorify the God who has saved us from our sins? To sacrifice, to do hard things, to take risks for the glory of Christ, so that one day we will be comfortable perfectly in heaven? We know that is what we are to live for. So we can look back and say, God has done great things for us. We can acknowledge that it's not easy, the work we're trying to do. But we can press on because our Savior, Jesus, is worthy. So our first application day is, I think, at this season, summertime, the living is easy. And you can look back and pause a little bit and thank God for what he's done. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, take some time this week and the weeks to come to look back and praise God for what he's done in your personal life. What has the Lord done for you? Has he saved you from your sins? Has he delivered you time and time again from difficult circumstances? Well, look back like the Israelites. Spend time talking with your family around the dinner table, around the fire pit, whatever it may be, and just praise God for what he has done in your life. Remember the stories of how he's delivered you. I even have an example. I completely forgot that Joshua was at the ER like a month ago, and he's fine. So praise God for that. How quick we are to forget that he delivers us time and time again. Let's remember this summer. Let's pause. Let's slow down. So first, do that in your personal life. And second, let's do it in our church life. Take some time to look back what the Lord has done at Grace Fellowship from the first day until now and thank him for it. Praise him for it. And as you're going through this exercise to thank God and praise him, if someone in the church or in your family life comes to mind that you're thankful for them, go tell them that you're thankful for them. Thank them specifically for how God blessed you through them. This will be an encouragement to each other. So let's look back. Let's pause and be thankful for what the Lord has done in our lives. And brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of that our greatest thankfulness we have is our salvation in Jesus Christ. That Ephesians 1 reminds us that no matter what we're going through in this life, if you lose every material blessing you have, you still have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I'll just remind us of three things from Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. If you'd like to write these down, you can, but you can just, I'll read them to us, we can listen. The first is Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Would you remember, you can be thankful because the God of love set his gaze upon you. He set his gaze upon us before we were even born, before the world was created. Hear this from Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. What wondrous love is this, brothers and sisters, that we've been loved before the foundation of the world. And if we were loved before the world existed, you are going to continue to be loved forever and ever. Amen. If you trust in Christ, if you believe in him. So praise God. We can always be thankful for that. Second, from Ephesians 2, 1 through 4, the great love of our God raised us from the dead. How often do we forget, if we've been following Christ, that we once were dead spiritually? We were like spiritual zombies walking this earth. And he raised us up from the dead in his great love. Now we are alive, and if we are in Christ, we will live forever. We can always be thankful for that. Ephesians 2, 1 through 4, and you, yes, you and me too, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. I want to pause there. Can we just say, like, in a crazy political environment, in a crazy month of pride over sin and all these things, can we not think we are better than the lost world? Because if it wasn't for Christ, we would be doing the same things. We were dead, children of wrath, rebels against God. So we are all equally sinners before God. Yes, we need to speak the truth in love to a sinful world. Yes, we need to speak the truth. But it should be from a place of humility. It should be from a place of, yeah, I understand sin and rebellion against God. And I can offer my hand to someone who found salvation by grace. We once were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You've been saved, brothers and sisters. You trust in Jesus, you are saved, you are alive, you are not dead anymore. It's an amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like us, like me. You can always be thankful for that. And the last thing, from Ephesians 3, on the cross, Christ poured out his amazing love. It's love that even in eternity, we will never fully comprehend the greatness of the love of Christ. He loves you that way. He loves me that way. We can objectively look back and say, yes, God really loves us. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Paul prays that the Christians would further grasp this. So there are levels you can increase in your knowledge of his love to your own blessing and joy. So would God do this here with us this morning? Paul prayed that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So here is love, vast as the oceans, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who is love cannot remember? Who can ever cease to sing his praise? He, Jesus, will never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. So on the cross, Jesus poured out great love, brothers and sisters. So just receive it today once again. Rest in it. Trust in his love for you today. So no matter what we go through, we have further hard road to walk in the future. We can always be thankful that God loves us, that Christ poured out his love, that God raised us from the dead, that we were loved before we were born. We can always be thankful for that. So let's pause to be thankful this this summer. Next, moving forward, we also in this psalm see the psalmist looking ahead with hope. We know from verse 4, he's in a predicament. He's in another hard place. This is life. We will always have hard things in our lives. Some seasons are worse than others. Skipping verse 4 for now, we'll get to it at the end. He's also going to look forward in hope. He looked back in thankfulness to what God has done. He's looking forward in hope. So let's see what the Israelites are doing in verses 5 and 6. So Israel has hope for the future. This is where they use the farming metaphor that I mentioned earlier. Look at verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. So that's planting the seed with tears. Not just planting the seed, but the tears are there too, and the tears seem instrumental to what's going to happen. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Joy is our future. Joy is our hope. We're going to have it, brothers and sisters. It's not our hope for how good of a farmer we are, though we want to be good, faithful farmers, spiritually speaking. This is the promise that we have. We have shouts of joy coming our way. So there's this farming metaphor. I'm a city slicker. I grew up in the suburbs, and I now live in Cowan. I'm trying to learn about farming. So you sow, I know you plant, and you reap. You get the harvest after a time. But these tears seem to have a purpose, that for God's people, those who trust in Christ, our sorrows are never wasted. They have a purpose. As we mix our sorrows with the promises of God's word, we will see it come to fruition. We will see change in our hearts, and eventually, maybe not till the end, we will see change in our lives. Perhaps the Israelites, they remembered tearful prayers they had prayed in the past and how God used those prayers to deliver them. And so they're saying, God, do it again. I trust you've done this in the past. Do it again. They believe God will answer these tearful prayers. We see other places in the Old Testament so many amazing promises of our joyful future we have, of a full restoration for God's people, in places like Amos chapter 9 and Psalm 29 and Isaiah 2 and Isaiah 25. It says that the mountains will drip sweet wine. And yes, even Baptists, we will drink wine in the new heavens, new earth. It'll be perfect on that day, so we don't have to worry about it. And we will skip like calves. Doesn't that sound fun? And the nations will flow to us because they want to come and worship God with us. And God will set a rich feast for us, and he's going to swallow up death forever. This is our future. It's written. It's secure. It's going to happen for God's people. So take hope in it. Take hope in it. But what are we so often tempted to hope in instead? This world and certain outcomes that we want. Little things and even big things, even good outcomes, spiritual outcomes, they're still secondary to the hope we have in Christ, the hope we have in heaven, hope we have in him. So brothers and sisters, don't hope, for example, in the salvation of your children. Don't let that be your ultimate hope. Don't hope in financial security, your job. Don't hope that everything's going to go well for Grace Fellowship. We'll just keep getting bigger and bigger and be established until the Lord comes back. Don't hope in that. Don't settle for lesser hopes. They will fail you. What is our real hope? That we will see God's face. All those other goals, even the good ones, they melt away in comparison to him. I remind you of this from Revelation 22, 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the streets of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will anything be accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's our hope. That hope will not put us to shame. It is certain. Because of the gospel, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he's given us life, eternal life. He's given us himself. So right now, we are in exile. We are sojourners with God in this life. But Jesus has brought us back to the Father. The promised land is coming. So I invite you to, again, as believers, trust in him and this hope we have. And if you don't yet know the Lord, trust in him today. And Jesus calls us to follow him through suffering to glory. So how we can do this? How can we apply this right now, this summer? If you've been following along, I've been just beating one drum recently. It's the summer of scripture memory, right? We're trying to join up into groups, small groups, to hold each other accountable to memorize very short portions of scripture. This is one great way to look to the hope we have in the future, to take hold of it, to let it sink down into our hearts, to plant the seeds. If we're weeping now, that will help us shout with joy later. Let me just give a verse of encouragement for why we should want to memorize scripture. This happens as we do that. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God's Spirit and God's Word work hand in hand. And as we're memorizing scripture, we will more and more be free. Free from the sin that weighs us down. Free to the joy of knowing the Lord and following him together. There's freedom. It says then, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. There's the next. As we are memorizing scripture together, we can behold the glory of the Lord more. That is a sight we all want. So we all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Don't you want to grow to be more like Christ? Memorizing scripture is one great way to grow, to be transformed by his word. And last, it says, this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we memorize his word, we already have the Spirit inside of us, perfect fullness, but there's also a further filling as we are memorizing his word. We see this in the book of Acts, that the Spirit has come. We know Ephesians 1, it sealed us for the day of redemption. But in the book of Acts, there are moments of filling, of outpouring of the Spirit. As they preach the gospel, as they serve each other, so we get fullness of the Spirit as we are meditating and memorizing on God's word. So let's make this summer a summer of scripture memory together. And if you still would like to join a group or you have questions, you can reach out to me about that. So we look back with thankfulness like the Israelites. We look forward with hope. But what do we do right now? Well, verse 4 tells us we cry out. And this is as we're coming to the end. We cry out, restore us, O Lord. Restore us, O Lord. So we see this reference, it says, like streams in the Negev. This was an arid region of Judah, southern Judah in Israel. There would be, in this dry region, occasional flooding. And in agricultural society, they would depend on the flooding to bring life, to bring vegetation, to bring water. So this is the cry of the psalmist. He's saying, I spiritually feel like a desert, but Lord, you can make it flood. You can bring life in my heart, in my spiritual community, in my nation. This was the cry of the psalmist. He's saying, flood us with your presence. Flood us with the Spirit. Flood us with joy. And Hudson Taylor was a man of prayer. You remember as this beginning, we spoke of Hudson Taylor. He's a man of prayer. God used him to do great things in China, and they're still bearing fruit today. But what if he gave up? What if he had given up? What if Hudson Taylor says, too hard, I'm going to go back to England, and just, you know, I'll be a part of a church, I'll serve the Lord, and just live a more comfortable, easy life. What if he says, too costly? He lost family members. He suffered many things through his decades of service. What if he said it was too hard? Well, he wouldn't have been able to see the harvest, the shouts of joy he would have missed out on. Today, the China Inland Mission is now called OMF International. Its headquarters are in Singapore, and it's led by a Chinese man named Patrick Fung. So in 1900, toward the end of Hudson Taylor's life, there were about 100,000 Christians in all of China, not just what their ministry had done, but the, you know, estimates of about 100,000 Christians in China in 1900. Today, it's hard to know, but they estimate there are 150 million Christians in China now. Isn't that amazing? 150 million. And certainly God used other people as well, but God used Hudson Taylor also. And they have a mission to continue to spread the gospel, not just in China, but throughout Asia. So he didn't give up. Will we give up? What harvest might God bring if we don't give up? Years from now, decades from now, long after we're all gone, perhaps God will still be using our little church for his glory. So brothers and sisters, keep going. Look back. Look forward and cry out, restore our fortunes, O Lord. We can cry out, restore our fortunes, Lord. Help us never give up. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Give us your presence. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Transform the lost community around us. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Send us more laborers. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Multiply joy among all nations. And one day, I believe we will look back and we'll say, yes, it was impossible. Yes, it was difficult. But by God's grace, it's now done. So let's pray. Lord, we just want to give you great thanks for the salvation you've given us in Christ, for all the other blessings you've given us, Lord, in this life, in our families, in our personal lives, and in our church. Lord, help us to keep looking forward to our true hope, nothing in this life but the life to come when Christ comes back. Lord, help us to be faithful, to never give up. Help us to keep crying out. And Lord, we are eager to see you answer our prayers more and more, that we would have shouts of joy for the glory of your name. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.